favorite song. I can feel you numb, I can feel you strong. You're the peace in my heart, cause you're giving me peace of mind. We're mine, if you think you will.
I can whip it, flip it, spice it up. Give me a juicy squeeze and I'll fill your cup. On and on and on and on. I've been to our favorite song.
Welcome to the first episode of Nomway, the Nomway podcast, where I am your host. My name is Rini, and today we're having a podcast where we talk about books, and I'm here with my guest and close friend, Vimbai. Vimbai is a digital media enthusiast, tech industry consultant, self-confessed bibliophile, who founded the Harare Book Club upon her relocation to Zimbabwe. And hi, Vimbai. Hello. Hi, Vimbai.
Hi, Rini. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. So we're having technical difficulties here. Are we now hearing each other perfectly?
Yes. Yes, we are. Success.
Okay, success. Okay. So welcome to the first episode of Nomwe. And we're going to talk books today, Vimbai. The episode is Books with Friends. And I'm here with you. Do you want to tell people about Vimbai, more about you, before we delve into the juicy stuff?
Well, I think you covered it with my intro. I'm a person who has a lot of broad interests, but I'm really happy to be here right now talking about one of my favorite topics, which is books. But yes, I'm definitely someone who's considers themselves a digital enthusiast. I love seeing all social media. If you want to find me on any social media network, you can follow me on Vim from Zim. But thank you so much for having me. And yeah, I hope everyone listening has a really good time.
Cool. So you know what? Let's just delve right into it.
So, okay.
Vimbai. I'll say this, you know, picture you're watching Love and Basketball. No, actually, Brown Sugar. Let's pretend you're watching Brown Sugar. And do you remember when he goes, when did you fall in love with hip hop?
Hip hop.
Yes. When did you fall in love with reading?
I feel like I'm going to put my Taye Diggs persona. Well, I fell in love with reading, Rini. I think I fell in love with reading around the age of 5. That's my earliest recollection. And at the time, I was really besotted with a copy of my book called The Hungry Caterpillar by Eric Kale.
Yeah.
But, you know, I can't even say if that's a, like, book and reading, because that's at that age, it's mostly just pictures. But it kicks things off.
Yes. Okay. And so you've told me, well, I don't, you know, the funny thing is I know I was reading at 5 and all that time, but I think the first time I personally fell in love with reading was when I remember it was in grade 4. And I remember the teacher, Mrs. Mukwamba, and she was reading an Enid Blyton book, and it was Mr. McMuddles, right? And it was like class time, reading time, and it was Mr. McMuddles. And I remember after, and you know, like during class time, reading time, should only read like maybe two chapters and then you'd have to carry on next week.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Yes. And I literally, after class, went over to her and asked her what she wanted me to do for me to get that book and take it home. And I remember her telling me, that's not how it works, Rini. That's not how we do it. You have to be patient. And I was like, but I want to read the book. I really enjoy the book. And she was the first one who was like, you know what? I don't know if you, at your school, Vimbai, you actually had days devoted to library days when you could go to the library and take library books in, right?
And but she clearly, was, like, yeah. Clearly we're all having the same, like, experience in 80s Harare primary school life. Because this is very eerily similar,
Yeah, and so she was just like, you know what, that's fine. I'll do you a solid. Instead of you reading this book, because everyone in class will not find it fair, how about every day after class, I can let you go into the library and you can take an Enid Blyton book. And it just started from there. So from there, it was like Mr. Medal Muddles, The Famous Five. And right about now, I'm actually rebuilding my Enid Blyton book collection.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, and the great stuff is because my best friend, Tamara, she volunteers at this bookshop, and they tend to have Enid Blyton books. So she's always doing me a solid about, hey, see this book, should I get it for you? And I'm like, if you see Enid Blyton, don't ask me, just get it for me. So then we move on. So what book actually reminds you of your childhood? I know you've told me about the caterpillar and everything, but what is the one book?
Did you just say the caterpillar? Okay. Okay. Sorry, what's the one book
that reminds you of your childhood?
Okay, first thing, you need to stop asking these really impossible questions, okay?
Yeah.
There is no one book, but it's hilarious because when you were just sharing your experiences with, like, books that you read in childhood.
Yeah.
The thing that came to mind was Enid Blyton, and I was just like, what?
Yeah.
And also, so for me, like, it was the Noddy series. I used to, like, I went through that, like, I don't even know why I was obsessed with it. And I think that was definitely like grade three. Yeah. And then obviously a little later, it was The Faraway Tree and The Famous Five, all Enid Blyton books. Mm-hmm. But when you were just talking about reading time, I remember in grade three, one of the grade three teachers, who wasn't mine, but her name was Mrs. Harden. And she would read us Roald Dahl. And I remember her reading me The Twits. And I was like, what the heck is this? Like, this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. And it was just really great. Like, you know what I mean? Like, your imagination, you could imagine all the characters.
Mm.
So when I think about it, it's like somewhere between Enid Blyton and Roald Dahl is, yeah, all my childhood favorites. Right there.
So then we skip your teenage years, we skip all this stuff, and we say, and I ask you, what book would you highly recommend your 21-year-old self to read? Of all the books you've read now.
Once again with impossible questions. I think at 21, because you're not quite woke, I was having like mini panic attacks about hair. Beyonce has won a Grammy. What am I supposed to do with my life, Lord? So actually, the book I was actually reading when I was 21, which I'll just say, yeah, just revise and revert back, was The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho. Just around kind of identifying the things you really kind of enjoy, like, which obviously when you're 21, I think just goes over your head. But basically, like, your strengths and the things that you seek will seek you out if you let them, you know? So, yeah, I think I was right on the money. I think 21 is actually when I did read The Alchemist. And then you just kind of read it every 3 years after that for a refresher.
Exactly. I think I actually had The Alchemist as well on my list. And another book that actually I had to really look for that book because it had been gifted to me. I wasn't 21, I was 18. And
yeah.
It was my mother-in-law, well, not personally my mother-in-law, my brother's mother-in-law. And yeah, I wasn't married at 18.
I was going to say, like, homie, like, you've skipped something here. Like, what? We might have to have a separate conversation. Okay.
Yeah. Forgot to tell you about the husband I once had. Yeah, so
yeah,
my brother's mother-in-law, she gifted me this book, and it was for my 18th birthday. And it was actually, and what makes it really important to me was the fact that she was from Finland, but she found this book by an author who was Zimbabwean. And the book is called Zenzele, A Letter for My Daughter by J. Nozipomaraire. And I love that book. I lost the original copy during moving and all this stuff, but I managed to get a copy off eBay. And when I got the copy, I was like, ooh, either a library is missing this book or someone, you know, or the library was selling books because it had the whole library stamp in it. But I love that book because it's a mother writing to her daughter, and her daughter has gone to study in the US at Harvard. So it's a mother giving... It is beautiful. Mm. It's a mother giving her daughter advice. And she also takes it back in. She talks about the Zimbabwean history, the struggle. And it's just a very lovely, lovely
book. Yeah,
I've never
heard of that book. I'll definitely look it up.
No, look it up. And one of my favorite quotes from the book actually is, the heart knows no logic beyond need and desire. The head has no senses except the common and the pragmatic. Neither, frankly, is particularly useful in love anyway. And I'm like, yes, so true.
Did your 18-year-old self capture that when you first read it?
Please. That's why I think I would now give it to my 21-year-old self and say, you know, just read this book and don't just flip through it. You know, totally enjoyed the book, you know. And then,
yeah.
So we've talked about The Alchemist being the book you highly recommend to your 21-year-old self. Now,
yeah.
Here's quite a difficult question. Name the book that changed your life, if there's any book that's changed your life.
Yeah, you know, it. In this life, when you've lived many lives, you're like, which life? And also, the little goody two-shoes part of me also wants to say something like, the Bible, because I feel like that's what somebody was saying. But sadly, Lord, don't judge me, please. But I think one of the key books that comes to mind is from that period that we just skipped, which is basically teenage
mm-hmm.
years.
Oh, yeah.
And it was Nervous Conditions by Tsitsi Danga Rimbo.
Oh, yeah. Tsitsi Danga Rimbo, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, like, I've read extensively, you know, but I think that was, I mean, beyond the ZJC kind of, which is like when you're 14 and do national exams and then. To anyone who's not Zimbabwean listening.
Mm-hmm.
You do come across some local authors, but this was the first time I think I came across not only just a local author, but a narrative that really spoke to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, one of the key characters, her name is Nyasha. She feels really displaced. You know, she doesn't know where she fits in. She's kind of code switching at that point, having to straddle, like, metropolitan life she's come from in the UK and adjust to Zim life. And it really kind of spoke to me a lot around kind of, yeah, just balancing cultures, finding yourself like halfway between. And I think it was just really interesting because it was set in Zim and stood like all the nuances of the story. And yeah, it changed my life because it also was just like someone from where I've come from has written a book that
mm-hmm.
completely speaks to me. And maybe I can do that one day myself, you know? But yeah, story completely spoke to me.
Yeah. I think the book that changed my life is The Secret.
The Secret?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I then, after reading that book, I became one person who became more positive, more grateful, more realizing it's what you put out in the universe or what you say out to God, how you pray, that actually it attracts more things.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And
yeah.
So I feel it had that life-changing moment for me, like the aha moment, as Oprah would say, where it was like, this is how I can live my life. This is like a vision board. This is, you know, it's all the positive. It's like the alchemist, everything coming all into this one book.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
She just saying, write it down. It was kind of like, even though she never mentions, like Rhonda Byrne never mentions God per se, but she does. And it's like, it's never like, you don't know where to put the secret, like it's spiritual, but it's also, you know, it's an easy read. So yeah, I'll have to say The Secret is definitely a book that changed my life. Now we go from life-changing moments to a book that's made you cry.
Rini, you know, this is the most ridiculous question to me because you know me very well. So it's more like, what book didn't make Mumbai cry?
Maybe that should have been the question. What book didn't you make you cry?
I'm a very sap, but let's talk about the more recent book that I've read that's made me cry. And it's definitely the book you recommended, and you didn't even tell me that it was a sad book. So I'm really mad with you. But it was Me Before You by Jojo Moyes. Wow. Wow. Because to everybody listening, what actually ended up happening is that if you basically read the book if you haven't read it. But
yes.
I ended up like WhatsApp calling you afterwards to be like to basically shout at you. Because you didn't even give me a warning. You were just like, read it, it's wonderful. So I'm thinking like wonderful in the sense of it's going to leave me like euphoric. And instead, I was there like crying my eyes out. Like it was a mess, guys. It was a mess, proper one.
See, but that's the thing. Because I'm also a sappy person and I knew. And because this book had actually been recommended and we follow my leak and she'd recommended this book. And so I remember when she put it on Instagram, I think, and she's like, oh, this is a must read. I went and I got the book, finished the book, was so emotional and crying and thought, okay, I'll recommend it to someone, but I'm not going to tell Vimbai that you're going to cry because sometimes when you tell someone it's emotional, they're just waiting for to cry and then read the emotion book and they didn't cry, like
emotion.
Like excuse me, my emotions went in check there. What happened? So I thought, no, I'm not going to let you know this. But it's also on my list. It's the latest book that lately that I've read and that's made me cry is definitely Me Before You. And if anyone has not read that book, you definitely need to get that book. So we go from crying to the funniest book you've ever read.
Okay, it's not one book, but it's two.
Mm-hmm.
It's The Weird Sisters by Terry Pratchett and Watermelon by Marianne Keys. Like those are
Watermelon is a funny book.
And I remember reading Watermelon quite young, but like it's still a sad story. A woman left by her husband the day she gives birth, but it's the most hilarious story I've ever read. And obviously Terry Pratchett, if there are any Terry Pratchett fans out there, anything with any of the books that he has, the witches in it, nah, man, I love those witches. They're the most hilarious things I've ever read. So, yeah, those are the two. What's the funniest book you've read, Ree?
So the funniest book I've actually read is, and it's been recent because I'd known of this book, but I never got time to read it. And it's actually The Secret Lives of Baba Shaggy's Wives by Lola Shaneen.
Yes.
Oh my God.
That's a good one. Actually, that's a good one. That actually came across on my list as well.
Yeah. It is just definitely a funny book. And I would recommend anyone who wants to have a good laugh, that is a definite must
read. And some plot twists of notes. Plot twist.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, ooh, plot twist. So, Limbai, what is the one book you're embarrassed to say you've read?
Okay, before I tell you what this book is, I'm going to put a disclaimer. That it's not, I'm embarrassed about this book, but not for the reason that you guys are going to think. Okay, so the book is basically the 50 Shades of Grey series. is it E.L. James? Yes, by E.L. James. That is the most embarrassing. It's not embarrassing for the reasons most people would say. It's like, oh, because there's kinky sex scenes or something. Nah, man, that part didn't even bother me.
Yeah.
It's the fact that this book, I eventually found out later on when I discovered what fan fiction was like, this woman literally created a whole book based off characters from another person's book, Twilight, and got paid millions of dollars for it. Like, plagiarism.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, she went on to write two more books that were like completely useless because now she had to rely on her own plot lines and storylines, of which she actually had none. So, guys, and I can't believe I actually got to the end of the third book. Like, guys, and the whole thing is, the funny thing is, all three books basically take place in the space of about like 8 weeks. It's impossible and stupid.
You know, it's also 50 Shades. I didn't read like the series, the trilogy. No, I just read 50 Shades of Grey. And the reason why it's on my embarrassed list is because that was dumb. It is dumb. It is stupid. Do you know? When you read Mr. Grey had grey eyes, that's the point you realize that...
Yeah. But and also how many times did she say like the main character say, oh my, oh,
yes.
Oh shucks. I don't know if it was an expression that she just kept saying, and I was like, who edited this book?
So yeah, I definitely will say that's on my embarrassed list. And so you mentioned fan fiction, and so I'm gonna ask you, what are your guilty pleasure reads, Rimbai?
You and I may not remain friends after this podcast.
I strongly doubt that. I think our bond is stronger than this.
Okay. You hope our bond is stronger than this. Guilty pleasure reads. Okay. All right. I'm going to come. I'm coming. All right. There are quite a few guys, so bear with me, okay? So, my good friends will know that there's nothing more that can, like, entice me than a real, like, steamy romance novel. My middle name once upon a time may have been Mills and Boone. I do not want judgment here. I do not want. This is a warm, loving space, okay? But
yeah.
I'll say, like, my guilty pleasures are kind of like the steamy Regency romance novels.
Mm-hmm.
So people who write those are like Juliet Quinn, Eloise James, and Lisa, I don't even know how you say her name, Cleopas or something. So those are like, you know, with the Earl of, I don't know, Grantham. Now I'm just referencing Downton Abbey names, but yes, I love those. And then also, Ree, you know this because you judge me about it, is those post-apocalyptic young adult novels.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Hunger Games, Divergent, those things, you know. I found another one, by the way, called Red Queen by Victoria Aveyard. I love those. I don't know. And obviously fan fiction websites where the stories can get really strange really quick. I really don't want to go into it, but it's a very dark hole.
So, you know what? I think I'll share my guilty pleasure read.
Yes, please do.
I don't appreciate the tone of judgment. And my guilty pleasures, and I've shared this with you, are actually African American literature, which is more it's more smut novels where, you know, it's steamy, but there's no essence. Like, the story really doesn't make much sense, you know. So I like Zane, and I've read quite a few of Zane's books. And there's this guy whose name is Eric Jerome Dickey. And today I had to count how many of his books I actually own and I've read. And I'm
embarrassed. What's his last name?
Dickey? Yes. Yeah, I think it's in the name. And I have 15 of his books. I've read 15 of this man's books. 15.
You don't even have a leg to stand on when you're judging my romance novels. Nothing.
I know. So, you know what? On that note, whilst people are still judging us, let's show them that, you know, we're multifaceted. There's more to
us. We've got some range, people. We have range.
We've got some range here. So how about now we talk about, you give me your favorite relationship book, your favorite cookbook, business or professional book, and a spiritual book.
Okay, all right. We're back onto the series now.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what constitutes... I've never read a relationship book, I have to tell you. But I have recently... You know, you mentioned Mylique, who we follow... Well, you introduced her to me. I'm a big fan of hers. I follow her on Instagram and Snapchat.
Mm-hmm.
So, she recently... Well, I was on her website looking at her recommendations, and she had said to read... Advice on Love and Life from Someone Who's Been There by Cheryl Strayed. So I haven't yet read it, but it's there. I bought it.
Mm-hmm.
I need to make time.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I don't think, you know, I was going to say Eat, Pray, Love, but honestly, no. and then my favorite cookbook. This one was a stretch.
Yeah.
It's actually by the Irish chef Rachel Allen.
I like her
recipes because they just like proper food for people who actually want to eat food, not like fancy. Not what you make, Reed, these little gourmet things. I need food with substance here.
Okay.
And then favorite business, professional book, definitely Nice Girls Don't Get the Corner Office by Lois P. Frankel. Recommend that to everybody. The title sounds a lot more harsh than it actually is. And then my favorite spiritual book, hands down, The Shack by W.M. Paul Young.
Okay.
That book, I think, revolutionized my faith. Yeah. And you?
Okay.
Favorite relationship book?
I don't even know if it falls under relationship book, honestly, truly. But it is Love Letters of Great Men. I love the book because it's got so many cute love letters, and it's just like, if someone was to propose to me, they should just take a flip through, you know, a page of that book and, you know, do that. And then favorite cookbook is actually Skinny Taste.
What is Skinny Taste?
Well, they're like really healthy, but tasty meals, honest.
Okay.
And also I have this cookbook which is from Good Housekeeping, and I paid I didn't pay for this book, and it was in one of those free bookshops, and it's a microwave cookbook, and it's quite good because, you know, sometimes you can be a chef but just using your microwave. And then business or professional book is Leave Your Mark by Eliza Litt. I hope it is Litt. I don't know how to say her last name. And she was a DKNY PR girl. So she wrote a book, and it's quite a very good book, especially in the arena where we are, where you're online and social media platforms. It's really quite a good book. And then spiritual books, I think I mentioned it earlier, which is The Secret. I always recommend anyone to just read The Secret. And then, so from then, what's the worst book you've read?
Ugh, there's so many.
Give me one.
Okay. Sadly, all the ones that come to mind are Zimbabwean novels.
Mm-hmm.
The Hairdresser of Harare is one. I didn't really like it. I didn't get past the initial pages. And No Violet Loayo's We Need New Names. I didn't like it.
Yeah.
And then one of the other ones that comes to mind is, funnily enough, it's always a very big favorite with everybody else, but it's Ken Follett's The Pillars of the Earth. Oh, that book. It was so long, Ree. And it was just rambling. And then people were just like, and you know, I'm usually a fan of rambling. It's one of my signature marks. But like, nah, man. Nah.
Yeah.
Never again.
I think the worst book I've read is also a book you've mentioned. We Need New Names by Noor Violet Blair.
Yeah.
For all its accolade it's received, that's the worst book ever. And I remember being so upset that I'd actually finished the book. There's nothing more annoying than you finishing a book and then being upset with yourself for finishing it because it's just rubbish. So now, before we play a game of sevens, and I'll just explain what the game of sevens is, which is the normal game. I ask you seven random questions in 7 minutes.
Okay.
But before we get to that, we've got like about 5 minutes to play around. So I'm going to ask you a bonus question.
What do I get for this bonus question? Okay, ask away.
You'll get a handwritten letter. Okay, so bonus question. I recently, and by recently I mean in the last 48 hours, discovered booktubers, like on YouTube, there's a thing of people who just book books. And I was like, I didn't know this world. And I'm sad I didn't know this world, but I'm happy I found this world. But who are your favorite, I don't know if you knew about this world, but who are your favorite booktubers, or if not booktubers, your online space where you enjoy reading and just soaking up whatever they're sharing on that, or favorite app, you know, where it's related to books or reading that you enjoy?
Okay, well, firstly, you're teaching me things about booktubers on YouTube. I didn't even know that was a thing. Like, I'm on YouTube predominantly for, like, natural hair tutorials, Dr. Pimple Popper, and really random, music videos or playlists. I'm in, like, weird spaces, but I didn't realize that there's even such a thing. So after we're done here, I'm going to have to go and check it out to see, like, what that space is all about.
Mm-hmm.
But where do I usually, like, so for my fan fiction, I go on to AO3.com.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not ready to see, like, things that could just scar you, don't go there. But what I really enjoyed is that people are out there writing some really good fan fiction literature, and it's really amazing. Otherwise, I just download most of my books on Google Play. I find almost everything that I'm looking for.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool. And so, as someone who's recently found out about BookTube, I then found the singer, Amory. Remember her? And this one thing got me tripping. So I found her. She has a YouTube channel. Not only does she have a YouTube channel, she talks about books. But not only does she talk about books, she is smart. Like, when she's giving a book review, I'm like,
you can't say.
I don't know what it says about me and what I perceive her to be, but she's smart. I mean, you know.
So, Rimi,
I guess,
what you're saying is that she doesn't have just one thing. Okay, sorry, that was corny.
Oh, bazinga. That was good. Yes, she just doesn't have one thing. She's multifaceted. She's a musician, you know, and she reads, and she's deep. I think maybe it becomes...
Oh, go check it out.
Yeah.
What's her name on YouTube?
It's actually Beauty by Emery, and she's changed the spelling of her name to A-M-E-R, and then there's a double I-E. And I think the surprise came from the fact that I think I would equally be surprised if I came across a Beyonce YouTube video where Beyonce secretly talks about books.
You never know.
I think I would geek out the same way. And the other place where I go is on Reddit. And Reddit is just it's another black hole. You just don't know what you're getting into when you're on Reddit. It's just something else.
I'll definitely check it out too.
Mm. Yeah. So now we get to the game of sevens.
Okay.
Okay. So your answers short and snappy. You don't get any answers back from me. It's all about you this time, right?
Okay.
First question. Most obnoxious book you've read. You know, the book that you read, but you just read so that you can be in a room and go, I read that book.
Okay. Atlas Shrugged by Ayn Rand. Very obnoxious, very long.
Yeah. Okay. If 2016 was a book, what title would you give it or what book would it be?
2016 was a book, it would be like that kind of post-apocalyptic meets like, I don't know, it would be like, it would be a mess. And I think the title would be something like, Can We Have a Do-Over?
I think I'll answer this because I was thinking, if 2016 was a book, what book would it be? It would be Gone Girl. Do you know, I finished reading that book and I chucked that book away because I was just like, what the heck did I just
read? I don't even know what book you're talking about.
Gone Girl.
I'm here taking notes about like, you're dropping knowledge today, some knowledge.
By Gillian Flynn, Gone Girl.
Okay.
You know the movie with Ben Affleck?
No.
Okay. We should ask you, what book are you embarrassed to not have read?
Can we just go on to like Goodreads? Because there's some way on the Goodreads. I can't think off the top of my head which book that would be.
Color
but
purple.
I know this. No, I've read The Color Purple, Rini. I just haven't watched the movie. You know, she's on me for this Color Purple nonsense. I have read the book. I haven't watched the movie.
Okay.
Sorry. I can't.
Favorite random quote from a book that you're constantly using?
Not that I'm constantly using, but it's the opening line to the first Terry Pratchett book I ever read, and it said, "Then the lightning stabbed at the earth like an inefficient assassin," and that just stuck with me forever because that was the most hilarious line I've ever read.
Okay.
I can picture it.
And I think we're on question 5, are we? Book characters you'd date, marry, and kill.
Woo! All right. Let's go with Mary. Mr. Darcy.
Oh, yeah, definitely. definitely. Yes.
What are my other options? Mary?
Yeah, you'd date because I actually wanted to say, who would you? FCUK?
Yeah.
Yes. Which book? Okay. Let's play the game as it's meant to be played. Yeah. Which book character would you F, marry, and kill?
Okay. Which one would I kill? Christian Grey, because Christian is dodgy.
He deserves to die.
But who would I want to hook up with? Out of all my saucy novels, I can't even come up with a name, but there is a type.
Tell us your time. Yes.
one of these wayward elves decided that love is not for them. Yet, you know, they haven't met me yet. And then love is for them. Then steamy, steamy scenes.
Wow.
You asked. I'm telling you.
Yeah, yeah, I did ask. I did ask. Okay, so who'd play you in a movie based on your autobiography?
Who'd play me? Oh my gosh. Who is that character? Obviously, it would be like a doper version of me. But if I could wait for her to grow up, I'm trying to think of like.
Are you just about to say Zendaya?
No, it just crossed my mind. You know how I am on the Disney Channel. So, yeah, I resonate with her. But I'm actually thinking about that girl from Blackish.
Ah, yes, Yara.
Well, she's a much better looking version than me. But listen, we can dream. So,
Oh, I thought you were speaking with your sister, in quotes, Zendaya. And for the last, and the last question, what actually would your autobiography be titled?
Ooh, I think it would be titled after, like, my first ever vlog, which is, like, my so-called life.
That's, okay.
You know, also, yep. If you remember the show that used to have Claire Danes and Red Little, I've always liked that title. My so-called life.
Okay, and then just a throwaway question. Who would ghostwrite? Like, let's say any author... who could ghostwrite your autobiography?
I would want Marianne Keyes to do it because she would make it so luscious. Even the sad bits would be funny.
Yeah, true.
And I always wanted to, like, if I could have a writing style, it would be similar to hers. Yeah.
I think I would actually like Mindy Kaling to write my autobiography.
It's a style. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, funny. Yes.
Like, hilarious, but still kind of poignant. Yeah. I can totally see that.
Well, Bimbai, guess what?
What?
We've come to the end of the podcast. And it was so much fun.
We survived.
Thanks for having me.
I just want to quickly say congratulations on your first ever Nongwe podcast. And I'm so happy to be chosen for this inaugural event, and I definitely wish you many, many more, and I can't wait to see who else you feature going forward.
Oh, thank you so much, Rimbari, and I hope our Nongwe listeners have, you know, got to find out more about you, because I always feel like you know a lot about a person from the books they read and they listen to. And so maybe they kind of know why we're friends. So it's great to always have a friend on a podcast and the first ever episode. And thank you once again for joining us. And you can always catch up with Vimbai everywhere on social media. It's at Vim from Vim. And thank you so much for listening.
Bye.
Bye.